Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to today's episode of Combos Over Cold Brew. Today we're talking to Teresa Heiss. She is a middle distance runner from Ohio who ran at the University of Oregon for 1 year, then transferred to the University of Arkansas, and eventually moved out to San Diego to run professionally for 2 years for the Golden Coast Track Club. And now in the fall, she will begin her first year of coaching NCAA Division I cross country and track at the University of Toledo in Ohio. Although Teresa and I never overlapped Oregon, we became friends through mutual friends. We met each other in high school, and I found that we've had a very similar path in terms of college and running, and I feel like we share a lot of similarities. So I definitely wanted to have her on the podcast, and I think she shares a lot of good insight, especially regarding mental health. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode, and let's get right into it. Okay, we are live. Teresa, welcome to the podcast. Do you want to first start off by giving a little bit of background on you, like who you are, what you're about?
Sure. That sounds like a lot of fun. Nothing like tooting my own horn. Just kidding. So my name's Teresa, like very well said, Emma. Or pronounced, I should say. I am a runner, middle distance runner from Ohio. I did freshman year at the University of Oregon, sophomore through year 4.5 at the University of Arkansas. Then I ran professionally, like briefly, maybe not that briefly, like 2 years-ish. In a little bit in Fayetteville, Arkansas, while my girlfriend at the time was still like going to the university. And then we both joined a group out in San Diego. And now I am transitioning into becoming a coach, like an NCAA coach. And I'm an advocate for pansexual people like myself and just anyone in the LGBTQ community, and also an advocate for just like the running community being very open to all people, like of race and gender and everything. That's me. Yes.
That is me. Yes.
That is me.
Yes. That's a good summary.
Yeah.
So the new coaching opportunity, that I saw that on your Instagram and I was so excited for you. Mm-hmm. How did that come about, and like what made you want to transition from professional running to being a coach? Because it is a very big difference to go to the other side.
Yeah. So Toledo came about actually, like, I've been talking about it with Andrea McDonough, the head coach of University of Toledo, for over a year, if I'm being totally honest. But it was kind of about when I was ready to step away from professional running. And additionally, it's like move from San Diego to Toledo.
Very big change there.
Right. Originally, I was actually planning on being a volunteer assistant when Andrea McDonough was at UNC in Chapel Hill. And that fell through with like a huge coaching change. Like the Stanford coaching staff is now at UNC and she's now the head coach at University of Toledo. So I was actually going to sign a lease in Chapel Hill, like when that happened. And I think like the response to that wasn't like, okay, I'm just going to go to Toledo now. It was like, oh no, like, I don't know what to do. And then it took me a year to get to where I am now, which is like totally ready to make like the full switch.
And how did you know that you wanted to be a coach? Because I get a lot of DMs asking like how to get into it, kind of like what are good qualities to have.
I think like I've always been very team oriented, but also just like very passionate about my teammates' success. And more in college than in high school. I really think I took on like the older person role, I guess.
Like the mom.
Like mother hen or whatever. and just like falling into that position, like with the younger women on the team, just came so naturally and I enjoyed it so much. And even moving out to San Diego and then being in like the young person on the team again, in that pro group, it's like I truly feel like I was missing that side of me where I was kind of like the leader or someone who was just helping like other people grow in like a point of like leadership, whereas like I wouldn't really say I had like leadership in the San Diego group. So maybe like that experience helped me fully come to a place where it's like, this is what I want to do. And then finally it was like, I'm ready. It's time. and the time is now. So,
yeah. Because what did you get your degree in? Isn't it like bio something?
Yeah. I got my degree in biochemistry. We don't need to talk about that.
I mean, it just goes to show, like, you can really find a career in anything that you want to.
Right.
You can change. Well, maybe that's not the right way to put it. You can change what you want to do as the years go on. Just because you get a degree in something doesn't mean that you're stuck with that.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like experience kind of.
Well, I mean, I double majored biochemistry and running. I'm just kidding. That's the worst joke ever.
I was like, wait, what?
You're like, no, you didn't.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
Well, I guess like when I walked away from college, it was kind of like, okay, I have these two skills now and I loathe one of them so deeply. Like
what, biochemistry.
I was like, well, let's see. I'm either going to go like into pharmacy and like, or pre-med, or like I was pre-med. So it's like go to med school. Or I could do lab research, which just did not excite me at all. Or it's like I spent all this time and like networking and everything like through running and collegiate running. And especially like having transferred, it's like I feel like you have like even more connections.
Yeah.
You know so many more people from two different schools and like your teammates, like past staff or like whatever, like this whole network. So it's like, okay, yes, I have a degree in this rad field of science, but I also like am really passionate about this other stuff and I have like all of this background and experience, so, and I like it.
Yeah.
So why don't we try that one before falling onto something else?
Yeah, and your degree will always be there, you know, in the future if you want to
go
try
back
something
on,
out in the field.
Yeah, crawl back into the lab. The choice is there.
Exactly. But I will agree. I think networking is a big way to get coaching jobs. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you're kind of an outsider and you don't have that many connections, it can be difficult just to find like even an open position, because I feel like a lot of it is kind of just through word of mouth.
Totally.
I don't know if that was your experience, but a lot of it was through word of mouth of people like recommending people. So I think if you're looking to get into coaching, it's really connecting with other coaches at any level. It doesn't even really matter. Just connecting with as many people in that field or even in just the running world in general as possible, because you never know what opportunities will come up. Maybe not even right now, but in the future.
Right.
And they'll have you in the back of your head.
Yeah.
And there's always coaching changes going on too. So,
oh my gosh, all the time.
Yeah, it's crazy. When the summer comes around, man, you never know where people are going to be next.
I know. It is weird.
Yeah. So I guess kind of going back to your professional running career, what after college, is that what you kind of saw yourself doing? Like, did you know that you wanted to run professionally, or was it just kind of like you said, you double majored in running?
Not really. Like, I've been like reflecting a lot, like the past like 3 months on like the trajectory, like of my life, like where it's going now and like where, how I ended up where I am, I guess. Cause I'm just kind of like, what happened? Like, not like in a bad way, but just like, huh, like I never really expected to find myself here. And I was just kind of like, well, like what choices did I make? Like, and then I kind of reflect on, I'm not really sure that I like had set goals and more was just like following, like, I kind of feel like fumbling my way like through like college athletics and then was like, I like this. I don't like my degree. I really like put a lot of eggs in running and didn't really do like an internship or like explore like occupations like after or even like considered like furthering my education. Like I feel like I was always just like hopeful for when it would be over and I wouldn't have to like sit in like science classes anymore, which sounds terrible, but like that was like the reality of it for me. And so like, and I think I had like a chip on my shoulder a little bit like at the end of my college running and was just like, there's no way like that was it for me.
Yeah.
So I think those things like kept me to keep going. But at the same time, like I also feel like I wasn't totally ready and didn't actually maybe want it at the time. Like professional running is really, really, really hard. Like you have to want it so bad. Like otherwise you're just going to constantly be distracted by other things like outside influences and like it can be very boring. Like you're just training and doing miles and strength, and if you're not like super focused and like oriented with like where you're headed, it can be just like very daunting and kind of confusing and mundane too. So
yeah, no, I think you said it really well. I mean, I feel like, especially for younger people, like the world of professional running is kind of hidden. I don't know. I think it's becoming a little bit more transparent now with more people kind of posting on social media, I guess. But a lot of that is just highlight reels too. So it's hard to even be able to tell. But I think professional running is, I mean, it has to be one of the hardest sports to make a living in, like professional running.
Oh, yeah.
And beyond that, like the sacrifices that you have to make to be able to make a living off of it is like, I don't know, you just have to do a lot to be at the top level. And you have to, like you said, you have to have like really set goals that you want to achieve to continue being motivated through like the hard times that running comes along with. A lot of the time you just don't have, it's just not as structured as it was in college. So it's a lot of self-motivation, I think.
Yes.
And it's a weird world, honestly.
Yeah. No, honestly. You're totally right to point out like the huge difference from like college to pro.
Yeah.
Like surrounded by like your friends and teammates and you have school and all this stuff and you're living in this cool space and you're paying rent, but like it's just different. I don't know. And then you go pro and it's like, oh my gosh, you don't have like team dinners really anymore. Or like maybe you do, but you have a lot more free time to think about when you're not hanging out with the team. And also the team is like your best friends, but also it's not the same as when you're in college. Like that's for sure.
Yeah. Everyone's, it's like an individual sport.
Yeah. It's way more adult, way more, you know, like you got to know how to take care of yourself and all that stuff.
Exactly. And I mean, I feel like I saw a lot of that through my older sister too, who went, who did professional running for a little bit. And it can be very, very rewarding. Don't get me wrong, but it can also, there are a lot of sacrifices you have to make. So I give a lot of credit to people who continue running after college because the love of the sport really has to be there, and it takes a lot of sacrifice. So I admire the people that go on and do it, because I mean, I didn't.
Yeah, well, of course. Like, I definitely admire anyone who like is putting in like that amount of work towards something and is passionate about it and stuff. But
exactly.
It's also that, like,
yeah,
there needs to be like a little bit of transparency every now and again, like of what it looks like. And yeah,
exactly. So what do you think is your future with running? Like, are you still training? Do you want to train? How are you?
Yeah.
What is your relationship with running at the moment?
So unfortunately right now I like am battling like some IT band stuff.
Oh no.
And yeah, it's like pretty extreme. I like wasn't expecting it at all. So I like quit running. I think it was like early March. Yeah. I quit running like March 1st. I think I raced a mile at, in LA, a mile and a 5K, like, and at Newport Beach, that's what it was. And it was just horrible. And I hated every second of it. And I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, it's not fun. Like, I work really hard and then I line up and I'm running slower than I ran in high school. Like, which for me, it's like, if you're aspiring to be a top US miler, if you're running slower than you did in high school, like that's very aggravating.
Yeah, very defeating.
Yes. And so finally I was just like assessed that like keep like pushing, putting my head down and pushing forward, like I was at a wall and like I wasn't going to knock this wall down. Like I needed to stop, backtrack, go around and like move forward, and I think that's where I am now. So I like stopped, backtracked, quit, like have reevaluated like my relationship with running, like why I was where I was, like how to not end up back there, how to get back to a place where I just enjoy training and running. And if I want to get competitive again, I can. And so I was just getting back into training harder when my IT band stuff flared up. And I think it's been almost maybe even 2 months now. Of just like some IT band stuff, which is, I've dealt with it before and it's just not, it sucks. And I've never really been like, I was never injured in college, which was really fortunate. But the IT band thing is super annoying because it's like, I can go for a run, but as soon as it kind of like hitches, it's like, it's going to be like swelling for like a long time. Like
I
struggle.
Is it clicking at the knee?
Yeah. Yeah. And then
I've had that before.
Yeah. And then it's like really difficult to walk downstairs, walk around, downhill, like anything. And I've never been someone who takes like ibuprofen and stuff. So it's like that's been an adjustment trying to get on that. And it sounds so extreme. It's not. But like,
no, I'm the same way. I avoid taking ibuprofen at any cost.
Yeah. And my like, I have so many nursing friends and they're just like, why are you not taking ibuprofen? I'm like, I don't know.
I just try to do everything I can before, like, before it, before medicine, you know?
Yeah, and the weird thing is, like, in quitting running and then coming back to it, I was spending all this time, like, doing, like, activation drills and, like, stretching and all this stuff, like, while I was running, like, maybe 2 miles a day. And, like, so I was like really shocked when I started picking things up that I had these huge flare ups. But at the same time, I just wonder if it was just like a ticking time bomb, like from all the training and all the time that I was never injured, that it's just was ready to let go. And that's kind of where I'm at. But I guess like to say, I like never really answered that I do want to like get competitive again. And but it's fun to sit here and be excited about it because I think I haven't been able to sit in excitement with running for a long time without having a race like crush all of my dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of people, I mean, and me included, I needed to step away from the sport too, just to like kind of realize like why I even want to do it in the first place.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, it's been at least a year, really, since more than a year, since I've really even thought about becoming competitive again with running or anything in that realm. So what do you think is like, I mean, you kind of already touched on it, but what do you think is like the benefit of stepping away? Like, what have you learned?
Oh my gosh. I could like talk forever on it. Like, I learned, like, one, I mean, it's just like really sad, like when you step away and you realize how like unhealthy you were. So, and it's like, I look at myself and I was like, I'm healthy. Like, I'm aware of so many things. Like, I know I'm in my own head. Like, haha, jokes on everyone. Like, I already know my own problems. But then I actually stepped away because I was like, okay, you're in your own head. You're not getting out of your head. Like, let's take a step back. And then I was like, oh my, there are so many other issues. Like, my attachment, like, I don't have like an extreme like eating. I didn't have an extreme eating disorder by any means, but to stop running and then have that influence like your dietary intake, like the way that it did, made me realize that I was like, there were so many things attached to like evolving, like around like my running and training that shouldn't have been wrapped up in that. And it's like, okay, I want to have dinner, but I haven't ran today, so I'm not allowed to have dinner. Like, that is horrible. And I had never even realized that I was having that issue while I was training, because it's like, I'm training, I'm gonna eat. Like, that's
you don't have time to stop and think about it. It's just,
no, I had no idea. And then it's like, in the weeks after, it's just like, my like value of myself, I was like, you're not allowed to eat, like you haven't exercised. And then I was like, I literally didn't let myself run until I could eat consistently, like without running. And so that was like, I mean, there's like things that I like had to go through to learn a lot about myself and like change like these habits that I had developed over the last, I don't even know how many years. Like, I've been running since I was in middle school. I don't really know when it started, like. But yeah, so that, and then it's like your body image and all this stuff, like being surrounded by so many like lean people all the time, and everyone's different, but it's like just feeling like less when I went through this phase of not running and making myself eat, because I was like, okay, but I mean, it's natural to like have your body change during that time. And then it's like, wow, I'm like really upset that I like don't look the way that I did when I was running 70 miles a week. And it's like, Teresa, that's not how like these things work. And like, it's okay. And then it's just like, you remind yourself, like, I mean, honestly, Emma, like reading your stuff, like helps so much. Cause it's like you're so like open, authentic, vulnerable, and being like, I'm happier now because like, I'm not weighing on like, on those things anymore. Like, in my mind. And it's like, okay, I need to get to a place where it's like, I don't have to look a certain way to be happy. Like, I need to be happy with who I am. And like, and I don't look at people and see them for their size. So I was like, why am I doing that to myself?
Exactly. And I mean, I'm definitely not perfect. It's something I still struggle with every single day. It's like the biggest struggle I have in my life. But like you said, I mean, it just takes a while to just kind of change your mindset. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was the exact same way. I kind of valued myself as a runner and not really much beyond that. I valued the way I looked as a runner. I valued like my accomplishments in running. So when that was gone, like literally when I could not mentally do it anymore, it took a really big toll on like my mental health in 2018, just because basically anything I felt good about myself for was kind of taken away from me. I mean, I guess it was my decision to step away from running, but like I literally couldn't do it anymore. I was at a point where it was like running was just too much to handle for me. So I think stepping away helped me grow a lot. Like you said, it just kind of learning how to be a normal person, which is just so weird to even think about. But also expanding my friend group too, I think helped a lot beyond runners, because for so long, I'm sure you were the same way. Like, you're just surrounded by people who are dedicate their entire life to running. They all, I don't know, act a certain way, look a certain way, have the same routine. So I think stepping away and kind of finding people that, I don't know, are away from the running world and away from this little niche that we have really helped me out a lot. Because definitely, there was just much less talk about running, first of all, bodies, like fitness levels. And I think it just helped me out a lot, realizing that there's so much outside of the running world that I have never explored. And I'm still, I mean, going through it, you know, still figuring it out. But
yeah. Well, it's good to be around people like who compliment like all bodies, if that makes sense. It's like we're in a place where it's like, oh my God, like your abs are looking so good. Or like, whoa, like look at your like thigh muscle in this picture. It's just like, and then it's good to be around people where it's like, like, girl, you're looking banging, or I don't know. That's like probably not appropriate. Yeah, like your words outfit is
no, but it's like an outfit or something. It's like it's not complimenting your fitness level.
No, yes, it's just like you look amazing, and it's just like a person who is like beautiful and confident in what they're wearing, and it's like you're not fixating on like, okay, like how many abs do they have, like. I don't, like, how, like, can I see their veins? Like, I'm like, it's just, like, awful. Like, I mean, of course, like, there's, like, an attachment to fitness and success and whatever, but it's, like, it shouldn't come to the point where, like, you weigh, like, your value on that.
Exactly. And I feel like that's what I was doing. So.
Mm-hmm. I honestly couldn't name a runner from like my time running that didn't value that. Like literally every single person values that. Like every single person has made a comment, like no matter what, like men, women, like everyone has made comments about like fixating on someone's physique level that day. It's just being like, it's
weird.
Yes. It's like, we're getting fat shamed by this person right now because they look so fit. And it's like, oh my God, like, and you don't even realize it, but like stepping away now, I'm like, okay, I probably went home and was like, just looked in the mirror and was like, I'm fat, like, and I'm not. And it's just like, that's not okay.
I think that's literally the story of my college career.
It's just going home and being like, I'm fat. No, Emma, me too. I have this, oh my gosh, let me share this story with you. And I will not name drop or anything.
Okay.
But it's at Arkansas and I have three roommates. And my three room, we have a scale. And for whatever reason, we all weighed ourselves. Three of them weighed the same. And they're like, haha, like the scale's broken. Like we all weigh the same. Cause they're all like very different, like body types or whatever. So it like doesn't really make sense. And then I was like, and then I get on the scale. It's a 20 pounds heavier. And it's like not, obviously the scale's not broken. And it was just like, that's like the story of my life. I was just like, I'm freaking like 20 pounds heavier than everyone, like all the time. Like I just like totally identified as like being this bigger runner. And like that definitely has like really negatively affected me for a really, really, really long time. Like I am definitely still like coping with like things like that.
You are literally preaching to the choir.
I know. I feel that because after Kyle came to Arkansas, like I remember like those would be like conversations. Like we would like talk about like specifically like you and me like being like the milers of the NCAA who like at the championship level were different than everyone else. And it was just and like there was like a sense of pride in that. I'm not going to lie. So it's like there is also a sense of like hurt in there. And like I was pretending that I was proud. And it's like, but in reality, like it hurt really bad. And like
I think you and I are basically, you're the same person as me. Literally, it's the same exact thing. It was a mix of like pride, feeling different and being like, yeah, I don't know, I can look different and still be good at running. But then it was also like,
it hurts.
I felt ashamed. I don't know why though. Like,
but it's like you're kind of like holding on to the what if. You're like, well, yeah, if I was different, would I be better? Like if I was their size, like would I be better? Like, and yeah, and you're like, I just like maybe today like don't want to be different.
Yeah. But like I just know like if we, I mean, I'll speak for me. If I was 100 pounds, I would not be better at running.
No. I would be very bad. Not. Right. I totally agree. I totally agree with you.
I think it just took a long time. And I mean, obviously still going through it, but especially as a runner, like it just took a long time for me to feel comfortable in the fact that, you know, I'm 5'11", I'm going to tower over people in the distance running world, and I have to like be okay with that, and I'm not going to try to manipulate the way my body looks to just feel like better about myself. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I totally had to accept that like my thighs might be 2 times the size of the girls next to me, and like that's okay. Like it doesn't mean that I'm going to like sink into the ground like when my feet hit the ground. Like that's not how it works. Or like the pictures where I look like if someone like were to look at me the wrong way, I could just like knock them out because like my arms are just like so jacked. It's just like, I don't know, it's just like not what you usually see. And I definitely would feel like self-conscious when I was like sent those pictures from the meets and stuff.
Oh my gosh, I would get so nervous.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh gosh, it's all right. Like, just be, you have to embrace, like, you have to embrace your body and, like, I don't know. We're all, like, beautiful creatures. And, like, the sooner you can come to, like, accepting, like, who you are, like, the sooner, like, your body, like, will set you free, I guess, you know?
It's so true. The minute it wasn't 1 minute, but.
Yeah, the 1 minute.
Like, I just remember it was the summer of, like, 2016, I think I was going into my junior year, and I just like literally, I just one day I snapped. I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I can't keep like just feeling so bad about the way I look. So then it just, I don't know. I just kind of snapped one day. I was like, I'm just going to stop hating the way I look. And honestly, like, it took so many years to be able to do that, but I think I just hit my breaking point. And as a runner, I think it really helped me to just move past the way my body looked, and I ended up just being a lot more confident, not only in my running, but also just in life.
Yeah.
Like, not worrying about it. And yeah, it was just a freeing moment to be able to accept the fact that my body may look different than other people.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a good thing. And I definitely think that I'm like still going through that. Like, I feel like my body is going to change a lot in the next 5 years. Like, in a lot of different ways. And I don't really know what that means or what that's going to look like, but I just know that I need to like be accepting and open and welcoming to like whatever. And as long as I'm in like a healthy mindset and I'm eating well, because like I'm really big on like having the proper like nutrition. And yeah, then beyond that, it's like the rest like will take care of itself. Like, as long as like my blood levels or whatever, like I'm getting all my vitamins and stuff and like not eating like super processed foods, it's just like I'm fueling myself in the right way, and
the body's gonna adapt to what it wants to be.
Yeah,
I feel like people don't talk about like the post-collegiate change in your body. I feel like I mean, it obviously everyone knows your body changes through high school when you go through puberty and stuff, but I feel like at least for me, I was not ready for the amount my body was going to change. Then again, I think I'm a little different than other people in the fact that I was still pretty prepubescent in college, which has been discussed a lot on my channel. But yeah, I like was not ready for the way my body was going to change. So I feel like kind of just opening up a conversation, and I mean, you seem like you have a good head on your shoulders about it, but just like realizing that even though your body does change, like it's very normal.
Yeah.
Like you said, going from running 70 miles a week to taking it down to maybe 15 or 20, like your body's not going to look the same, and that's totally fine.
Yeah. Especially if you choose that, like you finish school and you're like, okay, I'm not running again for 2 months. Like, I think it's so important to rest your mind, but then you need to be open to like how that's going to like affect other things. And you can't be critical of like yourself for changing when you drastically change what you put your body through every day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just a new way of, you just have to adapt to your like new way of living. And I feel like it's just, it can be hard if you run in college for 4 or 5 years and then you go to, it's like sitting at a desk job. But yeah, it's just adapting to a new lifestyle, and it's totally okay if things don't look or feel the same as they used to, because it's just your new normal, and you need to like love yourself every step of the way. It can be difficult, but just know that you, like, if you're listening to this, you're not going through it alone. Obviously,
definitely not. Oh my gosh.
We have both struggled with these things, so And I'm sure many other people have as well.
Definitely. Definitely. So many people.
Okay, so you went to Oregon first. I'm sad that we never crossed over. I feel like we would have had a really good time together. But then you transferred to Arkansas. Can you take us a little bit through, like, how you decided that you wanted to transfer and what the process was like?
Yeah, definitely. I'm sad that we didn't overlap, too. Although we did overlap in the SEC for one semester. And it was... And that was the only semester that I redshirted, so.
I know. I don't even think we ever saw each other.
No, sad. I did. I saw you race at SEC's cross.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I do remember that.
And I remember being like, I saw her at Brooks one time, like in Seattle. But yeah, so freshman year, went to Oregon, just kind of like very like naive move. Obviously like a great school, great program, with the Powells, like fantastic, but I do think that there's like a learning curve and that the higher maturity levels like are going to have like greater success there. Just because it is like run as like a very like individual program and not so much like, not to say that they don't like care about like team aspects and whatnot, but specifically like when I showed up, there was like this really young group, which was like myself, Nikki, Allie, Frida, Kelly, I could name everyone, but anyway, and then like an old group. And there was like this weird detachment, which in time, like we learned that they, it was kind of like the older group was like on the outs and they were just expecting like the young group to just take over like the legacy. And so like, obviously it led to like the older group, like not really liking the younger group that much. And like, this is all like really dramatic. It's not like how that's not like how the whole year went, but essentially like I just did not enjoy my freshman year too much in terms of running. Like I made so many like lifelong friends. But all in all, like I feel like I worked really hard and I did have a big breakthrough. Like I went from being a 450 1600 runner to running 422 in the 15. But Marisa and I never, like we never fully clicked. And so it felt pretty natural at the end of the year with some other things. Like I made some poor freshman life choices that led to like some conversations with Marisa Powell that kind of were like, you know, like we're not really meshing and I'm not really sure about growth in the program. And so she was really helpful in helping me find other schools. And fortunately for me, like running 422 as a freshman helped with like athletic scholarship, like yeah, going to other schools. So I ended up picking a school where I just had a full ride, if I'm being like totally honest.
decision financially. Yeah,
I'll tell you, like freshman year at Oregon, I was not, and it actually really stressed me out. Just knowing like that I have two siblings and my parents like wanted to put all three of us through school and wanted to pay. It really weighed on me that I had chosen this school that's pretty expensive out of state, and it was not, it would have been cheaper for me to have just gone to Ohio State, not on any money, than like to go on the partial scholarship that I was on at Oregon. And that definitely really weighed on me. And I was hoping, this is where it was super naive. I was hoping to like just crush my freshman year and like get my scholarship increased. Let me tell all of you listeners, that is not how it works. Like,
unless you're, I mean, it happens sometimes.
It does happen sometimes.
Yeah, but yeah, a lot of the time, freshman year is a very transitional year.
Yes, it is like totally crazy to think that I was just going to like walk in there and like crush everything and like.
Yeah, definitely like, not a guarantee. Definitely not a guarantee.
Yeah. So at the end of the year, it was kind of like, I think like my like priority is just feeling more comfortable. And like I knew that if like I was financially covered, like I would feel way more comfortable. And that definitely led to be true. Like, after the transfer and choosing Arkansas, which I chose Arkansas, I think, one, the scholarship, and two, regionals. My freshman year had been in Fayetteville, and it was at the time of year where Fayetteville is just like really blooming. It was very green and vibrant, and their outdoor track has like a nice view of like the hillside of campus. Mm-hmm. So very much not like the indoor track during the winter. So no one judge or hate on Fayetteville. Anyway, so like I chose that school. Lance Harder is awesome. He was like super excited to have me. And yeah, like I think once I was there, I made the right choice considering we won indoor nationals as a team. I was on the winning national DMR team with Dom, Jess, and Sparkle McKnight. That was pretty cool. And that indoor season, I ended up improving my mile from, I ran 4:49, I think, at Oregon, and I ended up running 4:36 the next year.
Sheesh.
At Arkansas. Yeah, and I actually, like, I think, like, at Seattle, like, I came in second overall at, like, the Husky Classic, and that was by far, like, the best moment of my life. But anyway, now 4:36, who cares about that? Like, it's 4:26, but whatever. Back then, it was, like, pretty cool. Yeah. And definitely, like, affirmed, like, making a good choice. Yeah, and then I think the rest of, like, my Arkansas experience, obviously, like, athletically, it was strong and good, but I think more the team that we built together, like especially once Nikki came and then the other women on the team, was like, it was just this amazing thing. And I think that honestly happened at a lot of programs in that time. Like I feel like a lot of programs became very like team oriented, and I think like we see that reflecting like when the Oregon team won cross. Like, I just feel like there was, like, this camaraderie that maybe a lot of people, like, we hadn't seen. Like, when I was at Oregon, like, we totally didn't have that camaraderie.
Oh, and I can tell you that that team was, I think it had to be one of the closest team, or probably the closest team I was ever on at Oregon.
Yeah.
And there was a big shift from my first year there. I could just, I don't know, there's a lot, it was a lot more team-oriented, I think, when we won. I think, honestly, that's why we won, is because it was a lot more team oriented that year.
Yeah. And like, I think, and being a part of that at Arkansas, like, was just so special. And like, I definitely cherish those moments so much. So it's like, when I reflect on like athletics, it's like, like, I think as an athlete, like, I would have done really well probably at a smaller program. But if I had done that, like, I would not have met all the people I met. I wouldn't have the experiences that I have. And like, who knows if I'd want to be getting into coaching now, like, which
I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah. Like, which I totally do, like, so badly. It's like, like, maybe I would be a 1500 meter finalist, like 1500 meters, like my like prime event, like from school and as like a professional. It's like, maybe I would be a US like 1500 meter finalist. Couldn't even say that I would be like a contender for a team, you know? But it's like, oh, maybe I'd be a finalist, but maybe I wouldn't have, like, this, like, fire within me to, like, have my own team, which is, like, so fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like we just have so many, a lot of the same experiences or thoughts. It's very easy to talk to you.
About the same stuff over and over again. Yeah.
Just on repeat. But I don't know. I feel like we share a lot of the same experiences, even though we never really overlapped.
But I know, crazy. But yeah. It kind of makes sense. Like, we both went to huge programs. And, like, yeah, like, I think maybe we have some similarities that led us through, like, a similar path. So, therefore, we have this stuff in common. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. well, to conclude this episode, do you have a quote or a motto that you live by day to day?
Oh, I totally do. And they're so cheesy. Like, anyone who listens who knows me is going to be like, roll their eyes. But, okay, first one, like, which I think is so important, like, today, is, like, just treat others the way you want to be treated. That's something that came to mind when I read, like, that note from you. And I just think it's so true. Like, if you go out there and are focusing on treating other people like as you wish to be treated, I mean, what like a fantastic world this would be, you know?
Yeah.
And then the other one, which is like my bio, is just like, be the change that you wish to see in the world. And that's kind of just like, okay, I reflect on like experiences and I'm like, oh, I wish that like I had had like this person, or I wish I had known this. And then I just try to put that out in the world. I'm like, okay, like I wish that I had seen someone like this or like whatever. And so then I just try to be that role model, that example, or like expose like something I went through that I want people to see and then learn from so that maybe they don't have to.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's going to make you a really good coach too. I feel like you just have a lot of good experience and like good mindset towards running. And I feel like it will make a big impact on someone else's career, especially younger runners. So I'm excited to see you in your coaching career. I feel like you're going to thrive. Yeah.
Thanks, Emma.
Of course. And I'm sure people want to follow you after this fun episode. So where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, so I have two Instagram accounts, and that's it for me. I have my coaching account, which is coach_heis. And then I have my personal account, which I think is just like Teresa_heis. And that's nice. It. Yeah.
Simple and to the point. Love to see it.
I'm a fun follow, so hit that up.
She is. Please do. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This was really fun. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did. I really did. Thank you for having me.
Of course. To close out, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Of course. Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Combos Over Cold Brew. I had a great time recording with Teresa. She is literally so easy to talk to. She's one of my go-to people to talk to about, especially like the deeper parts of my life. So I'm really glad that I could have her on the podcast, and I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Big shout out to Lindsay for supporting the podcast. I shout out one of my supporters in every episode, and if you would like to support the podcast, it would mean so much to me. It really helps me out a lot. All of the donations that I get for this podcast go straight back into the podcast. I just reinvest it. I want these episodes to keep getting better and better and to keep expanding and improving this podcast. So it really, really helps me out. If you guys love the podcast, to submit a monthly donation just through the Anchor platform, it's really, really easy. There's different tiers you can do. It's literally 99 cents a month, $4.99 or $9.99 a month. So it really helps me in growing the podcast. And another thing that really helps grow this podcast is if you listen on an Apple podcast, rating and reviewing this podcast. If you guys want to be up to date or be able to submit questions, requests, or just get general info about this podcast, you can follow @ConvosOverColdBrew on Instagram. Thank you guys for listening, and I will hear from you guys in the next one. Peace out, fellas.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.